Morning, 2 Kings this morning, a little different message than I've ever preached before, but we've been having a lot of funerals in our area, family members and loved ones and friends in the last several months and even year or two. We've been having a lot of funerals, so I've been studying on a little different sermon this morning. Tombstone epitaph that I have named this, and I know we have a lot of people's out sick this hour and a lot of people that we need to have me be praying for, but we appreciate the ones that are here this morning. But this tombstone epitaph that I began to read about and think about in a man's life, and I'd just like to tell you a little bit about it, but to start with it, we know that it's Elisha. Now, Elisha has been dead now for several years. And God is going to use this man that's been dead for several years for a great miracle. Now, I'd like for you to kind of fast forward this morning with me to 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years down the road. As you know, if you would just fast forward this about 50 years or maybe more, or maybe less, or maybe more than that, did you know most of us will be in this graveyard somewhere if Jesus Christ don't come back? We'll be in that old box somewhere or another, but we know if the rapture had not occurred, but you know that your soul and your spirit will be with the Lord. Do you believe that God can use you after that you're in the grave? Do you think God can use your influence and your testimony today? And while you're living, do you believe after you're dead and gone for 1 year, 10 years, or 100 years, do you believe that God can still use you? Your life and your commitment that you've been to Jesus Christ, you think that God can use you for a miracle? Well, God is going to show us in the Word of God that God used a man for our encouragement to understand that God can still use you even though you've done gone on to be with the Lord and your bones still lay in the graveyard somewhere. I believe that this man that we're going to read about in just a few moments, he come to life. And I do believe that you live your life for Jesus Christ, and it tells us in the Word of God, if we live our life as this man, Elisha lived his life, and this is a memorial to this man of God, it's a making of this man of God, and it's a ministry to this man of God. And I do believe that even though that we may be gone on several years, several months, I do believe that maybe for your children, a lot of children is not saved when the mothers and fathers leave this earth. But afterwards, I do believe that they can be saved just by knowing how their mother and their father lived, their grandparents lived. And for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, friends and neighbors and someone that you probably have never even heard of may come to know Jesus Christ and the great blessing and miracle of life because of your commitment this day. And your commitment, how that you lived your life and how that you have kept your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ through the dedication of the church to let your family know that the most important thing in this life and afterlife for you and all your children is the way that you commit yourself to Jesus Christ through his local church and understand that Jesus Christ knows all about our life and he understands. Now, someone might come to be saved even through your death, because I do believe that your influence will live on. Do you believe your influence will live on? I just do believe that we need to take a trip maybe to an old graveyard somewhere, maybe to the old cemetery of your family. And a lot of times that we walk through the cemeteries and we maybe look at these cemeteries and look at these headstones and look at the people of our loved ones, our families, our mothers and fathers, our grandparents that done gone on to be with the Lord. And think back with me just a moment now how that they may have influenced on you and why the reason that you're serving the Lord today. It might be that your grandparents or your grandmother, grandfather had brought you to church. It might be your mother and your father had brought you to church and made sure that you was at the house of God every time that the doors was open. Maybe you did not want to come for some reason or another, but now as you look back on that person in that grave, you want to thank the Lord for that person in that grave, the commitment that that person had to Jesus Christ, and the reason you have the blessings today and your family have the blessing today is the reason they served Jesus Christ and they committed their life to Jesus Christ. Well, we find out here this day that your life may go on or your testimony may go on to be a great influence to the people that you might not even know about this day, but especially to your loved ones. Tombstone epitaph. Now, we be in 2 Kings chapter 2, but I want to read 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, because this is when Elisha, it said, had died. But we'll be in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, and this is a life about Elisha and how he become a man of God. And to this day, every one of us, he was just a man like you and I, just a person like you and I, but he was determined to live for God. He was divinely appointed. He was divinely anointed by God. And every one of us, if you are a child of God this hour, God has called you just like he called Elisha. And he intends for you to live your life and your testimony. And I'm going to tell you, especially for mothers and fathers and grandparents are here this day, that your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are looking on at your testimony. And I tell you what, it's a great blessing to know they can look back on their grandparents, look back on their mothers and fathers, and they can say one thing for sure, they loved the Lord and they attended church. And I could think so many times, and as I was in that old church over there, there's a lot of senior citizens, even this day, they have to hobble down the aisle, especially I remember that old church over there, and many of them had to hobble down the aisle holding on from pew to pew because they didn't have the technology that we have today to bring them old bodies where they might have enough energy and strength to come to church. But they come anyway. They had to hobble down this aisle, but they wanted not only to let the Lord know that they loved them, but they wanted their kids, their grandkids, and a testimony to everybody that seen them and knew them that they intended to serve Jesus Christ. And they weren't there just on Sunday morning. Whew. How our attendance falls off on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Those were there to let God know they loved him and praise God for their testimony. But as we fast forward this for about 50 years, I'm going to tell you, most of us will be in that old cemetery if Jesus Christ don't come back. And I tell you, your influence, I do believe, going to live on. It says in verse 20, and Elisha died, and they buried him. And the band of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. And it came to pass that they were burying a man, that behold, a spied band of men, and they cast the man into a sepulcher of the Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the great blessing of the Word of God. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that even though these old bones of ours might be laying in a grave somewhere, that our spirit, Father, and our soul will live on. We want to thank you, Lord, that we might live on with you, Jesus Christ. But somewhere out in that old graveyard, there may be someone passing my grave one of these days. You know, they might say, well, that man done the best he could, and I pray that I do. Because it's of you, Jesus Christ, and not of what I do. Maybe there's someone here this day has really never made that commitment. They never had a great reason to make that commitment, Lord, that they'll be more like you, Jesus. And they'll have a more commitment than they ever had before. But thinking about their loved ones, Lord, that come on after them. And Lord, how a blessing that they can be even after they're in the grave and after, Lord, they have breathed their last breath on this earth. Father, how I pray, God, that you might use this great, great word of God. Father, I pray you might use me this morning in a very different way, that, Lord, you might overshadow this church. And let us get a good grip, so, Father, and what it means for our testimony, what it means for us to live for Jesus Christ, not just in this life, but also, Father, for the people that comes after us if you don't come back. Father, we want to thank you and ask you to bless in a very special way today. But we thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Forever prayer has been offered this hour, forever song has been sung. And Father, especially for your presence this hour, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Elisha, the miracles. He was a great man of God. He was a great prophet of God. He worked many miracles. God worked miracles through him. But after his death, and I said sometimes you might need to walk through a cemetery. Sometimes, you see, we might need to go out there and put some flowers on the grave and remember what those loved ones meant to us. In their testimony, when they didn't have the great opportunity, they didn't have the air-conditioned churches, and they didn't have the air-conditioned cars and automobiles to come to church, but they had time to lay down everything they had to do, and they come to church. And they want to let their family know that they believed in Jesus Christ, and it pays to believe in Jesus Christ and to serve Him, Jesus Christ. Remember them. What kept them keeping on, keeping on? I tell you what, after they had died, it brings about change in your life. And our prayers, you know, has been answered to this day of a lot of people. It's none gone on. It's in that cemetery. Their prayers have been answered because of you here this day. Did you know a lot of you, the prayers of your mothers and fathers and your grandparents have been praying for you and your grandkids and your offspring? Did you know they've been praying for you? And you are the answer sometimes of those prayers have been prayed for you. Even though I want to tell you after that you've gone on that your prayers will live on. I want to tell you your testimony and your influence will live on to those children. Maybe it's not serving Jesus Christ. For those grandkids that are not serving Jesus Christ, there'll be a time, I'll tell you, whenever God will bring it to their attention. Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's don't tell me they don't pay to serve Jesus Christ. It pays to serve Jesus Christ every day, all the way, all the time, every step of the way. It pays to serve Jesus Christ. I tell you, for your commitment to the church, because you just keep on going on. The miracle that you are this day because of someone that believed in Jesus Christ this day. It's a very exciting scene as I read these two verses of Scripture before we go to chapter 2. But these two verses of Scripture tell us that Elisha died. Now what was happening, they was carrying another man out to bury him. The funeral procession was going out in those two verses of Scripture I read. And they was carrying a man out to bury him. And the Moabites was invading the land of Israel. And as they was carrying this man in a funeral procession, that they saw a bunch of these Moabites coming over the hill. And they said, hey, what are we going to do with this dead man? We're in a funeral procession. So they spotted what would you call a hole in the mountain. It was a sepulcher, as you might see here on this picture. Now, not like a graveyard that we have today. So they said, let's stash him in here. So they put him in there, and they let him down in this place, what they believe that was a very tomb there of Elisha. Now, Elisha had been dead, and it says his bones. So evidently, it had been many years that he had already been dead. As you and I know that sometime in our cemeteries, you walk out, people have already been gone on to be with the Lord, but it brings your attention back to them. Well, they dropped him down into this sepulcher, and when his body touched the bones of Elisha, he came alive. That reminds me, I'm going to tell you today that sometimes, even after you're dead, I'm going to tell you your loved ones and family that do not know Jesus Christ can come alive in Christ Jesus for the stand that you made in Jesus Christ. When they think about you, even after you're dead and in the grave for however many years, it might be that God brings it to their attention for some way or some reason or another. The corpse touched the bones and he said he came alive. The miracle that people, you know, today, the miracle they come alive because they know Jesus Christ. The Bible gives us these instructions here this day and inspires us to keep on. I just also wonder now as I was reading this, I wonder what happened to those pallbearers when it said, you know, whenever that body touched the bones of Elisha and he come alive. I wonder what in the world did they think of when that man come alive. What happened to them? The Bible don't say. But I can imagine it's like this man was walking through the cemetery at night. And he thought he saw a ghost, so he stuck out his hand to see if that ghost was real, and the ghost wasn't there. But after a while, the ghost stuck out his hand to the man, and the man wasn't there either. So I just wonder what happened to those pallbearers. Y'all get that just in a minute, won't you? I wonder what happened to those pallbearers when this man came alive when he touched Elisha's bones. As you think about this, now this was real. But why such a miracle? Why did God allow this man Elisha to be in contact with this miracle many years after he was dead? It said his bones, so we don't know how long it had been, but after he was already in this grave. Well, I believe it because of his character, and for same thing for you and I. I do believe that God will work miracles even after we're gone and leave this old earth and in the grave. Many times when I'm at a funeral, I take the verse of Scripture there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, Abel was dead and he yet speaketh. I do this because I understand that my father's been bed many years, over 30-something years, and you know, I can still remember him telling me things, even 30-something years, and some of your family, it's been dead many, many years longer than that, your grandparents, whatever it might be, and you can still remember them telling you, son, don't do that, son, do it this way, daughter, you ought to do this. It might be for your mother, your grandmother, telling you wives and telling you women how to cook certain cakes or how do you do this or stir this, and you can still remember it after they have been dead. Well, it works the same way in our spiritual relationship to one another. God will use the death of a person. He might use many things in the graveyard to bring miracles upon our life. Even though we're dead, we're yet speaking. Not in audible voice, but we know that we yet speak because God will use us if we be the person of God that God intends for us to be. So you think about this, a tombstone epitaph for every one of us today. The day you know what you want to recommit your life, if you're not serving Jesus Christ like you ought to, if you're not the man, the woman, the person of God that you ought to be, the day you know what you ought to make it be, the day that God says, this is the day that the Lord have made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it because he is going to touch your heart today. Man or woman of God, we need to know these three things. Because that God allowed him to be in such a position that these miracles happened after his death, I believe that God made a miracle come through his life and his death, and also this memorial to a man of God, to a memorial to you. God has a memorial to you, maybe out there somewhere 50 years from now, 30 years from now. It don't matter how many years it is. A memorial to the man of God. God is saying to this person, live to make a difference, a miracle to his honor. I believe God will give an honor to you. I believe that God gives honor to a lot of people. It's already in the graveyard. You know, we have a homecoming. A lot of time we'll read out the names of the members of this church. It's done gone to be with the Lord, and that's an honor to them. But to honor that God has used a lot of those people for you and I this day. A lot of us are here today because of the memorial of the people that's known gone been with the Lord at this place called Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, what they stood for. And the reason this church is a conservative church, the reason this church believes in the Word of God, the reason this church keep on going and keeps on going, because of the foundation of those already in the graveyard at Pleasant Hill. And one of these days you can add to that foundation in that graveyard. This church might keep on going. It won't fall by the wayside in liberalism and believes in Jesus Christ and lost souls might be saved because of what you're doing here this day, what you're planning on doing in the future, and your commitment to Jesus Christ, how you support your church, how you support the things of God and the work of God and the ways of God and serving God, the way God intends for you to serve him. The purpose, I think, one thing for this miracle, as I have time to get into this, I'm already on my first point. Anyway, the purpose of this, to encourage God's people. I think he lets us know in this miracle now that might encourage us. We may not see anything that we're doing in this life. A lot of times they say, boy, I just wish God could use me. I don't feel like that God is using me to do anything. God use me. I'm going to tell you what, God will use you up. That was my prayer when I first got called into the ministry. God use me. And I tell you what, that's the wrong prayer to pray. Don't worry about praying God use you. I'm going to tell you what, he will use you, I can assure you, if you allow God to use you. Now, here today, you may not feel like you're worth very much. You might feel like, hey, I'm not doing very much. What can I do? I've done got an old age. I got this. I can't do this. I can't do that. What am I really doing for the Lord? I'm going to tell you what you're doing for the Lord. You're showing commitment. You're showing influence by being what you can be for Jesus Christ. And it might not be that your life that God will use you in a great way. It might be your epitaph on your tombstone that God will allow people to be saved because of you and look back. And I'm going to tell you, serve Jesus Christ better and more because how, what, and what you're doing today. You are here today, and I'm going to tell you, God is going to want to encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing and be faithful to Jesus Christ, because I do believe this old song that we sing, so much, we live on. Yes, we live on. Through eternity, we live on. Not that old body that's going to the grave, but that influence that we have that we may live on. Live on. Elisha was dead, but God is still alive. That's the thing about it. Even though we're in the grave, that God is still alive. And the great God of Elisha is the great God that you and I serve today. And the same power he had on Elisha's life could be the same power he has on us in a different way. He used him in a different way that he may use you and I this day. But I want to tell you here today that God wants to use you in a mighty way in this life and the influence that we have after we have done gone on to be with the Lord. I think of so many people today that I look back on and have the influence on my life. But I'm going to tell you, the person who lived for God never really dies. I want to tell you here this day, if you're living for Jesus Christ, you will never, never really die, because I believe that your influence will live on in that old graveyard somewhere. I believe your influence will live on. D.L. Moody, great man of God. Charles Spurgeon, old George W. Truett, Adrian Rogers, Homer Lindsay, and I told you Wednesday night. Besides Wednesday night, I'm glad I thought about that Wednesday night. You know what? We don't have a lot of people coming on Wednesday night anymore. You got the Can't Help Us, I guess. But I tell you what, they ought to be more people coming on Wednesday night. Did y'all know that? They ought to be more people coming on Wednesday night. Why? Because the same what I'm talking about right now. We need people to be lifted up to Jesus Christ, and a lot of people are sick. They need to be helped. Listen. On Wednesday night, I told you about Annie Armstrong, Lonnie Moon. Lonnie Moon, you know what? As I talk about being dead, she'd been dead for several years. She was a missionary to China. And I tell you what, because of her great faith in Jesus Christ and her sacrifice and her life, there's no telling how many people have been saved. But you know what? Her influence lives on. That's the reason we take up money. That's the reason we have people that's going to foreign countries. That's the reason we have missionaries this day, because of influence as this lady Lonnie Moon had. That's what I'm telling you here this day. Lives on. How many people come to know Jesus Christ after her death? And how many missionaries have been sent because of what she done? And I'm telling you the same way today. What can really happen? What a change can be made in your family, in your great-grandchild that you have never saw, your great grandchild that may not be born, or your grandchild that may not never be born while you walking around on this earth. But wouldn't it be great to know in heaven that that child will come to know Jesus Christ because of your testimony of the Lord, because you're here this day, because you intend to work for Jesus Christ, you intend to worship Jesus Christ, and you intend to serve Jesus Christ, because it will be worth it to know that one of your family members, one of your loved ones come to know Jesus Christ when they look back and know the testimony that their grandparents and their mothers and fathers and the sisters and the brothers had in Christ Jesus this day. Would it not be worth it that your husband, even though he's not saved now, will come to know Jesus Christ, even if it might be after your death? Wouldn't it be great that your sisters and your brothers that you know might come to know Jesus Christ after your death because of the way that you love Jesus Christ, and nothing would stop you from serving Jesus Christ this day? What a great day it would be, the influence that people has. Now, Billy Graham, praise God, he's still breathing air, but I'm going to tell you one thing. When the Lord takes him, if he might live for the rapture, I don't know, and he might live longer than me, but I tell you one thing, as I'm talking about somebody like Billy Graham, I'm going to tell you what, after he's in the grave, if Jesus Christ don't come back for the rapture of the church, this man's testimony will live on. I'm telling you, his testimony will live on. And I'm going to tell you what, he is no different. He's a man in flesh and blood, just like every one of us here this day, and he don't have anything that you and I can't have. He had a special calling and anointing on his life, and that's be the great evangelist that he is. But I'm going to tell you what, God has got a special calling for every one of you that have been called by the name of Jesus Christ, a special calling that nobody else can do, and a special anointing for that calling that God's called you to do, no matter what it might be. God has called you, and God has called me to do different things in the family of God, and I'm going to tell you what, he has called you, and we can have influence too. Before we leave here and after we leave here also, a godly person, when we lay us in an old grave, I believe our influence ought to live on. As you think about right now the person that might have influenced you, as you think about that grandmother that might have brought you to church, maybe that grandmother or maybe that mother that you saw had a hard time coming to church, but they came anyway. Maybe as it says, I keep on keeping on the Lord. To start with, I really do believe if you want to do this and to live on, I believe that there'll be a memorial to the man of God. I believe there'll be a memorial to you this day also. But then the making of the man of God. This making of the man of God, you know, he was not born the man of God. Elisha, as great as he was not born the man of God. And you was not born into the family of God. God called you. You answered his calling with the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God and by the word of God. I'm going to tell you to start with this man. He was divinely appointed. And God has divinely appointed every one of you this day if you are born again child of God. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you have a divine calling upon your life, and that is to accept Jesus Christ. He have chose you. I'll get into that in just a minute. But in 1 Kings 19 and 19, and here's the way that he was called. It says that, you know, Elisha now was his mentor. Elisha now was his leader. In 1 Kings 19, 19, he says, so he that is Elisha departed hence and found Elisha. Now, who was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him? He was just an old farm boy, an old plow boy like I was. And Elisha passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That is Elisha. Now, that was a man of God passed on his mantle to that next man of God because God had told him to do so. Elisha, like I said, was a farm boy, a plow boy. The mantle now was a garment that prophets wore. It was a type of coat, a garment that they wore. Now, as we do this, it's marked off his, let him know that what he really was is he wore this garment. He did not choose to be a prophet. He was out there plowing his field, minding his own business as I was, you know, but God touched him as he touched you here this day, and God chose him to be a prophet of God. Now, he chose him. Did you know what? God chose every one of you today. Are you saved today? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt if you die, you'll go to a place called heaven and your old bones will be in a graveyard somewhere and you shall live on? Well, I want to tell you in John 15 and 16 says, you have not chose me, but I have chose you and I ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Now, I've read that verse of scripture many, many times, but as I was studying it this way, it never dawned on me when it says that your fruit should remain. I always thought it was talking about this life, what we're living in today, but it never dawned on me when it says that your fruit shall remain and shall continue on, and that means even after your death that your fruit may continue on. Woo, that is good to know that today. He was just an old farm boy called by the word of God. Now listen, you know what, prophet? And God calls people. I'm going to tell you what, and you know what? I do believe that God calls preachers this day. I really do. I believe God calls preachers. If God didn't call me to preach, you couldn't hire me, no matter how much money it was. And anybody that's not called by God, they ought to get out of it. I don't think anybody would want to do it anyway if they weren't called by God. But a seminary helps, but it don't make preachers. College help, but it don't make preachers. Bishops can help, but they don't make preachers. I'm going to tell you, denominations don't make preachers. God calls preachers. God called you, not just me as that is my title, but I'm going to tell you what, you have a title just as important as my title is, and God has called you also. Every one of us are ministers together, ministering for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're all together this day. Paul says, I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God has put every one of us into ministry also because you was faithful. How was you faithful? You didn't always live for the Lord. No, and I didn't. I don't either. But you see, you was faithful. How was you faithful? You was faithful because you answered the calling of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God, touched you on the back and touched you on the heart and touched you on the shoulders. Hey, that you a sinner. And I'm going to tell you what, if you keep living like you're living, you're going to go to a place called hell. If you'll let me, I'll forgive your sin and come in your heart and I'll save you. And you did and he did. And you're saved today, and you have been appointed by God and been called by God into the family of God, and God expends for you to do what God has called you to do. Now, as we go back to 2 Kings, we start my sermon now. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, and I'm going to read a few verses of scripture, and I'll try to go as fast and slow as I can. It tells about this man of God. Now, really, now we're in the making of the man of God and how he's appointed and how he is appointed of God, how he's anointed of God. But now, as we look now, we see this now in chapter 2, starting verse 9. And it came to pass when they was gone over that Elisha, here how it was passed on to him and how he was anointed with a power to do whatever. That's what anointment is. Every one of us, you saved this day, you've been anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. But this anointment means that God's got a special purpose for you. Now listen, God has anointed me to preach the word of God. I'm probably on the bottom of all God's preachers. I never extend a step up any further. I know I'm on the bottom of all of them. But I am called of God. I've been anointed of God to preach the word of God. What a shabby work I might do. But I'm going to tell you, I still preach the true gospel, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But anyway, here's where it come to pass. Now, Elisha now was passing it on to Elisha. Elijah to Elisha. And it says, now it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what shall do to thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou art asking a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass that they were still went up and taught that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, a horseman of fire, and departed them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horseman thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now he's been anointed. Here is this. He said, if you see me, here's the anointing of God is going to do this for you. He said, I saw this. He took this mantle now. He's got the special anointing of God. And he went back and he stood at the brink, the water edge of the Jordan River. If I have time to get into this, which I doubt I will, but if I had time to get into this, he's waiting now for the calling of God to tell him that, for the ministry of God, what to do. He's waiting at that river. And you'll find out as I'm rushing on into my sermon that he stood there. And after a while, you find out this chapter that he took this. This mantle, he took this coat there of Elijah had took from Elisha, or Elisha took from Elijah, and he took it and he smit the water with it, and it parted, and he went back over. Now that symbolizes crossing over Jordan. Now he's waiting there for this special anointing, and he crossed over Jordan there. He smit the water and he crossed back over into the world. After you have been anointing, after God has called you out of this world, guess what he's done for you? He sent you back into this world. What? To be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what he's done for him. He waited there for his testimony to go into this world, and he walks across this river again, and he's go back into his ministry. And we find out there in my outline, you see he had this determination, humiliation, he had this appropriation, and then he had the ministry of God. As I know that I won't have time to get into all this, but I know that what God has showed us here this hour, let us understand that we have a ministry of God in this world that we live in here this day, a determination you see this day. As we think about the determination that so many people had before us has gone on to be with the Lord. Elisha had eyes only for the spiritual master, and I'm going to tell you what, we ought to have eyes this day. In 2 Kings chapter 4 now, back up, it says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Elijah said to Elisha, you stay here, I got business to do. And Elisha said, not on your life. He said, you are my leader. Anywhere you go, I'm going. I'll keep my eyes on the leader. And that's for you and I today. Keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. He is our leader this day, as we may lead him. Are you? As you think about this, think about what God has done for you and how that he has brought you through so many, many times in the difficulty and situation that you're living in today. I don't know how much God that you have right now, but I know one thing for sure, you have all you want, because I have all I want. If I don't have any more of God's, whose fault is it? If I don't have any more of God, whose fault is it? I want to tell you the ministry of this man of God. This ministry I'll explain to you as I go on. Divine appointed, anointed, crossing that river. But you see, there's going to be three classes of people as I try to hurry on. About half my sermon, about all I'm going to get, or hardly that. But as we go back in this world, you know, it says there's some three people you're going to meet, he met too, in this word of God. I ain't got time to explain it to you. But you know, there's those skeptics now that tell you, you know what, it says, you know what, you don't have to be there every time the doors are open. You don't really have to do this. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You don't really have to do this. You don't have to really do that. You know what it tells us? It's got an answer for the skeptics. And you're going to head, head-on collision with each one of them as Elisha did. But you see, there's a cure for those that's cold, those that don't believe it makes any difference, those, you know, that just don't believe in the church because they don't support a church no way whatsoever. But you know what? God has got a sure cure for that. It is a perfect cure for that. You know what it is? One little word. You know what it is? T-I-M-E. Time. Time for every one of those skeptics. Because you see, every tongue, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Time. But if you don't believe in serving Jesus Christ, time will be the cure. You don't believe it makes any difference to come to church? Time will make all the difference in the world. It'll be the cure for all of our diseases that we have of skepticism. No scoffers or scorners that we say so many times as we think about this. Lord of mercy, I tell you, we've got so much to cover here in this few minutes. We got so much. You see, they just want to scorn this old man. But you see, and the answer to that is vengeance, said the Lord. Leave them alone. Got to take care of them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But then, bless your heart, they're the seekers. There's those people there, it's the seekers. And you know what those seekers were? They went up to Elisha, and they said, we're living in a city now, this last verse of this chapter. We're living in this city now. We got a great city there, Elisha. But the water's bad. He said, well, you bring me a cup of salt. So he took a cup of salt, and he took the salt, and he threw it out there in that water that they couldn't drink. And the water come pure. You know what the symbol is? That you are the salt of the earth. And you see, with a great city, but without salt, there's no life. Because you are the salt of the world. And you think about that old salt. It lies in that old graveyard somewhere or another. And you fast forward this again, and you just think back. What will my life that I've lived, will it make a difference? I talked to you Wednesday night. You know what? The percentage of salvation is dropping in our country more all the time in our world. And you know why it is? Because the Christian people in every church, just about it, there's not enough people that wants to make a difference. There are not enough of people that wants to make a difference. Do you want to be that person? You want to be that person that makes a difference after that you're gone on to be with the Lord? If it is the day that God has spoken you. They're over to come with a song of invitation this hour. And I wish I had about another hour and a half. I believe I could get it all out by then. But I'd be like that old ghost. I'd be the honest one here. But I hope that God has spoke to you this hour, that you might want to make a difference. Because it's not just the life that you're living now, but it's the life that's going to keep going on and your influence is going to keep going on. I believe that old song, I live on. Yes, I live on. Through eternity, I live on. And although my bones will be in a graveyard somewhere, maybe my kids and my grandkids might be my great kids and grandkids I've never even met. It might be that they could say, but at least he believed in the Lord. At least he brought me to church. At least he believed in Jesus Christ. This day, do you want to make a difference as we stand and sing our hymn this day? That person that like to make a difference in your family? Are you tired of just kind of playing church with God? You fast forward your life, and did your grandparent or grandkids say as they look upon that old grave and say, oh boy, they believed in Jesus Christ. Boy, they believed in that church. They believe in doing what they could do for the Lord. You know, it's your life. It's your testimony. What will they say? How about the life that you're living this day? Do you have influence on that family member?